Today, as I said, we are in part five of our 7-week series of who we are. And today we're going to be looking at that we are people who are on mission. We are people on mission. And so we're going to be taking a look at Jesus' Great Commission from Matthew chapter 28. So I invite you to find Matthew 28 in your Bibles. And when you do so, please rise for the reading of God's Word. Rich is going to be reading Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's look to the Lord in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to serve you by serving others. Help us to be sensitive to the needs of those around us and to share the message of the gospel, which would be completion of their greatest need to find Christ as their Savior. We ask that you give us boldness, not just by our actions and in the deeds that we do, but to actually speak of your loving kindness to those nearby. Once again, we are thankful for your faithfulness in our lives. We look at your creation all around us, the mighty sea, the night sky. We can see the stars in the heavens, and how can we help but be in awe of you? And we can know that you are the one who is stronger than all others combined as creator of the universe. And we do confess our sins before you. We know you have a hatred for sin that is great, for you are the only one who is completely righteous and completely just. Yet in the majesty and magnificence of the cross, we also see your loving kindness and your truth that is revealed to all those who would believe. And so we are grateful that you are a loving and merciful God. We ask that you be with our time of worship as we tune our hearts to you. Help us to be mindful of what Pastor Jim brings in the message, that we would apply it to our lives and find meaning in our hearts from your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, Rich. Well, Peter Cameron Scott founded the African Inland Mission. It's a missions organization that is geared towards preaching the gospel throughout the continent of Africa for the glory of God. Now, Peter Cameron Scott was born in 1867 in Scotland, and he himself was a missionary as a young man. Now, when he went to Africa, like many people in that day, he caught malaria, and he had to go back to Britain in order to be treated, medically treated. So after he had recovered from his bout of malaria, and after he regained his strength and his energy, he set his course once again for Africa. But this time he brought his brother John along with him. And there was great joy as they were embarking out to Africa, for just dreaming about all that God was going to do through them as they preached the gospel to the lost. But shortly after they arrived, John, his brother, caught malaria and unfortunately succumbed to the fever and died. So that joy was just sucked right out of Peter Cameron Scott. And literally, as he's digging the grave for his own brother, that's when he rededicated himself to say, I'm still going to preach and proclaim the good news of Christ throughout Africa. But shortly after that, he caught malaria again, and he had to go back to England. And he was so discouraged. He was so devastated by this turn of events. But something amazing happened when he was in London. He visited the Westminster Abbey and stood in front of the grave of David Livingstone. Now, David Livingstone was a famous Christian missionary and pioneer and explorer throughout Africa. And on his gravestone, Peter Cameron Scott read these words. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Now those are the words of Jesus from John 10:16. And after reading those words, Peter Cameron Scott found a renewed vigor and passion to preach the gospel in Africa. And so he went for a third time to Africa. And he stayed there for the rest of his life. The fruits of his labor are still felt and taken part of in Africa to this day. And Africa Inland Mission is an organization that still has tremendous impact in the continent. Now, Peter Cameron Scott was on a mission. He had a burning desire to preach the gospel in Africa. He wanted to see people who were lost in darkness see the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Though he was encouraged when he read John 10:16, when he saw there are other sheep in Africa who must be brought into the fold, I must go and preach it. That was what encouraged him to go back a third time. He was still driven by the overarching mission that Jesus gives to every single one of his disciples. And that's the mission that we see today, the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. So I'm going to invite you, I hope you kept your Bibles open. We're going to be looking at Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20 for the entirety of our message today. And so, love having those open Bibles in your laps or on your phone. Let's take a look one more time at Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." And so, as followers of Christ, we are people on mission. That's what we're going to see today. And so, in the message, we're going to see the following three things. First, we're going to see what our mission is. Secondly, what characterizes our mission. And thirdly, what encourages us while we go on this mission. Okay? So what is our mission? What characterizes our mission? And what encourages us on our mission? So let's begin with that first point. What is our mission? And that's what we see clearly in verses 18 and 19. Our mission is to go and make disciples of all nations. Now, every follower of Christ is given this mission. If you are a disciple of Christ, then Christ commissions you to go and make disciples of all nations. There is no exception. Jesus has been given all authority over all things. He is the King over everything. And so when the king commands, we must comply. When he says, go and make disciples, we must go and make disciples. There's no other choice. It's that simple. The mission is not reserved for pastors and missionaries and those with the gift of evangelism. If you are a disciple of Christ, then Jesus commands you to go and make disciples. As disciples of Christ, we make disciples. That is just who we are. And so I hope that it's abundantly clear that Jesus' commission, Jesus' command, his assignment to his followers to go and make disciples is for everyone who considers themselves a follower of Christ. Now, what is this mission, right? This mission is pretty simple in this passage. It's to go and make disciples. Now, that command to make disciples is the central imperative. It is the primary imperative in our mission. But don't overlook the part about going, right? You can't be a disciple maker by eating potato chips on the couch. There are no couch potato disciple makers. You must go. It's an action. Remember, Judaism was a come and see religion. It was everyone coming from abroad, coming to the temple to then worship God in that one central location. But Christianity is the opposite. It's a go and tell religion. It's a faith in which we have been transformed by the gospel of Christ, and then we go and tell others. Under the full, all-encompassing authority of Christ, we go and make disciples. Now, to go is necessary, but the making of disciples is the central part. You don't just go somewhere and then say, well, I'm here. Mission accomplished, right? No, there's another aspect to it. The going is necessary for the central command to make disciples. Now, disciples, as I've been using the term, I'm referring to genuine followers of Christ. To be a disciple is to genuinely follow Christ. They are people who hear, who understand, and who obey Jesus' teaching. And so fundamental to making disciples is the preaching of the gospel. It's proclaiming that Christ came to save sinners by taking upon himself their sin, canceling their debts by bearing the entire wrath of God that we deserve for our sin. Only those who receive the gospel, who trust in Christ, and who repent of their sins are truly his disciples. And so the important part for us to remember is that we can't make anyone become a disciple of Christ. We can't force anyone to accept Christ as Savior. We trust that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is the only one capable of transforming a non-believer into a disciple. Only God can make a wayward wanderer of the world into a faithful follower of Christ. And so, what does it look like for you and me to go and make disciples? Well, I believe that it is going and faithfully proclaiming the gospel and then trusting God for the results. Christ has been given all authority. And amazingly, he has sovereignly chosen to use us, broken vessels, to use us to accomplish his purposes. He uses us to fulfill his mission of making disciples. And that is exactly what I think Paul is getting at in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. If you can, this passage is so important that I want you to keep your finger in Matthew 28 and then flip over to 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 17. So flip your Bible to the right It's a couple more books, right? We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If you notice, 2 Corinthians 5:17 was the memory verse from last week. So that should be very familiar to everyone here, I hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. We'll be reading 17 through 20. Listen to what Paul writes. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us, the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Let's pause right there. And so notice three things that Paul says. Notice in verse 18 that we are given the ministry of reconciliation. God has given us this ministry of reconciliation. And then in verse 19, we are entrusted with this message of reconciliation. So we are given this ministry of reconciliation that has this message of reconciliation. And then in verse 20, Paul tells us who we are, what our title is. Well, he says we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. And so how does this relate to Matthew 28? How does this relate to the Great Commission? Well, I think it lines up quite perfectly, right? As the ministry of reconciliation seems to be the Great Commission. It is our mission. It's the mission to go and tell people about Christ and how they can be reconciled with God. That message that is central to the mission, to the ministry of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation, as we see in verse 18, is the gospel. We've been entrusted with the gospel message to share, to make people into disciples of Christ. And then Paul says that we are ambassadors, that we are ambassadors for Christ. In other words, that we are to represent Christ and his values and ever and always point to him. Now, the astonishing thing comes in the second half of verse 20, where it says God is making his appeal through us. God is using us to accomplish his purpose of making disciples of all nations. What a privilege, right? What a joy that God would use us as his ambassadors to go on this mission to make disciples. And so, to go and make disciples of all nations is to go and faithfully, and if necessary, repeatedly, proclaim the gospel and trust God with the results. He is the one that makes them into disciples. And he graciously chooses to do so through us. And so think about this analogy for what it means to make disciples, all right? Making disciples is a whole lot like fishing, all right? It's a whole lot like fishing. When you fish, do you catch a fish every single time you cast your line out? No, right? Of course not. But what is equally certain is that if you never cast your line out, you'll never catch a fish. Now, in the same way, as followers of Christ who go and make disciples, we are fishers of men, to use Jesus' vernacular. We are to cast our line out, so to speak, by sharing the gospel. Most times, people are not going to bite, and that's okay. But by God's grace, sometimes they do. But if you never cast that line out, if you never share the gospel, then you will never make disciples. One pastor put it like this: people will only see Jesus in us if they hear about him from us. There is no gospel without words. You see, Jesus gives us our mission: go and make disciples. That's why I love the vision statement of this church. When I was applying for this church a couple months ago and I saw this vision statement, I was so pumped. I loved it. Our vision is this: that we as a church exist to make, mature, and multiply disciples of Christ for the glory of God and for the good of all people. I love that vision. I love that because that is what our church is about. It's about making, maturing, and multiplying disciples for Christ. And so, church, let's actually do that. Let's actually live that out. Let's not just say that's who we are. Let's actually be who we say we are. We are disciples of Christ on mission to make disciples for Christ. Now look, I know that making disciples can be scary and intimidating. This mission is not always simple. And this passage does offer three ways that we can find encouragement from it. We'll get to that in the third point. But what I want to impress upon you right now is that disciple making does not need to be this big, scary task. It is a mission accomplished in our naturally living out our faith and intentionally looking for or even creating ways to share the gospel with those you interact with. Sometimes you get the opportunity to share the whole gospel in one instance. Other times it's bits and pieces. It's just little fragments that you can share with the Bible. But in either case, it is good for us to remember that we are not drive-by disciple makers. We're not people who show up, shove the gospel in someone's face, and drive off and not care about them. No, disciple making is a process in which over time you share the gospel, you share your faith, you share who Christ is. And when this is our mindset, then disciple making becomes just a rhythm of your everyday, a rhythm of your everyday life. So for me, the gym was a great setting. The gym was a great setting for me to share my faith. I would see some of these guys every day, and it would allow me just to kind of build a relationship with them, and then eventually just start having those opportunities to share my viewpoints, to share my faith, to share the gospel. Now, the pandemic kind of cut a lot of those relationships and those opportunities short, but I trust that seeds were planted. I don't know if any of the people that I witnessed to and talked to with my faith at the gym ever came to truly profess Christ as their Savior. But I trust that I planted the seeds, and I leave that now in God's capable hands, because salvation belongs to the Lord. Now, what about you? How are you making disciples in your everyday settings? Why not starting with your neighbor next door? Why don't you invite them over for dinner? Start building a genuine relationship, a genuine friendship with them. And in the course of that relationship, in the course of that friendship, you better believe there will be opportunities for you to drop some gospel nuggets, some opportunities to share your faith. Plant those seeds and see what God does with them. Or maybe you have a coworker that's feeling particularly hopeless right now. Well, why not share with them where you find your hope? That you find your hope in Christ, and that no matter what your circumstance, Christ is your sure, steady anchor in the storm. Brothers and sisters, it could be as simple as just having a conversation with the person that you interact with at the store, right? You go to a coffee shop maybe every day, and you see the same cashier every day. Start building a relationship. Start that small talk, and then let it eventually roll into sharing your faith. a mindset with a mission to authentically and naturally share the gospel is a disciple-making mindset. It's looking for everyday casual settings to be able to share the gospel naturally and authentically. So if we want to see the kingdom of God grow, if we want to see people come here to this church to glorify and magnify God, then first and foremost and unequivocally, it must be the power of God that does it. We believe that, affirm that, amen, yes, it must be God who does it. But God in His sovereign providence has chosen to use us as His tools to bring people in. He wants to use you to go on mission to make disciples. Now, before we move on to our next point, just a quick word on the phrase of all nations, right? Jesus commands us to go and make disciples of all nations. The mission of Christ is a global mission. All authority has been given to Him to send us to all nations. Now, this is not pitting America against the rest of the world, right? There is need for us to make disciples here in the United States and overseas. It is not an either-or task. No, it's both and. It's both making disciples here and making disciples overseas. And no matter where we go, whether you are called to stay here or whether the Lord is leading you to go elsewhere overseas, our deep concern and prayer is that the gospel would go forth to all nations, especially those who don't know Jesus. Now listen to some of these staggering statistics. The current world population is approximately 7.76 billion people. Of those 7.76 billion people, over 3.2 billion people have limited or no access to the gospel. That's over 43% of the world's population has never heard of the name Jesus Christ. The population of the United States is 322 million. Multiply the population of the United States by 10, and that's the number of people who are lost and without hope and have no knowledge of Christ. Doesn't your heart just break? Doesn't it make you just weep that there are so many who have never heard of the only hope that we have in Christ? There are young teenage girls who are sold into sex trafficking in the Tibetan mountains who have no hope, who do not know of any hope in Christ. There are Muslims in Azerbaijan who are enslaved to their law and traditions and who are completely oblivious to the freedom that is found in Christ. There are tribes in Africa who are still sacrificing their children to appease their gods, who do not know a thing about Christ's sufficient and ultimate sacrifice on the cross. Church, do you hear the urgency of Christ's mission? Go and make disciples of all nations. And if you can't go to them, then pray for them. Pray that we talked 2 weeks ago that we are people of prayer, right? A people mighty in prayer. So let's pray for the lost. Let's pray for those nations who don't know Jesus, who don't have any access to the gospel. Pray that missionaries would be able to enter into their lands. and share the good news of Christ. Let me briefly mention two resources with you that can help you pray for the nations, for the unreached, those who don't have access to the gospel. The first, if you like technology, you can download an app. It's called the Unreached of the Day. Unreached of the Day. It's run by the Joshua Project, and every day they give you another unreached people group, a different unreached people group. And the people group, it gives them statistics about them, the difficulties to the barriers to entry for the gospel, and specific things that you could be praying about for them. It's an amazing opportunity and an easy one. It's a free resource for us to be, as a worldwide church, praying that the gospel would go to some of these unreached. Now, if you hate technology, then there's a book, okay? It's called Operation World. And that book has all the nations of the world. It has prayer requests for every nation. Once again, statistics, things like that, that you could be praying about. Let's be a people who are praying that the gospel would go forth to the ends of the earth, so that people from every nation would come to know Christ. All right, so Jesus sends us out on mission to go and make disciples of all nations. And now secondly, he gives two ways. He gives two ways that characterize disciple making. And we see that in verses 19 and 20. So let's turn once again to Matthew 28. We're going to be looking at verses 19 and 20. Jesus says to his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And so discipleship is characterized by baptizing and teaching. Discipleship is characterized by baptizing and teaching. To make disciples is a twofold process, all right? It is faithfully preaching on our part. That's what we really focused on in our previous point. But then for them, it's to actually become a disciple, they must have a faith-filled response to the preaching. So we preach the gospel, and then for them to become a disciple, they respond in faith and in repentance. And so Jesus here indicates that what characterizes their faith-filled response is baptism and continued teaching. So let me explain each of those cases. So the New Testament, I think, is clear that if someone trusts in Christ and repents of their sins, then naturally they should seek to be baptized. This is what Peter says in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 41. He says this, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. You see, the New Testament seems to indicate that baptism was the response to someone becoming a disciple of Christ. It was the public declaration of their union with Christ. So when the new believer went under the water, it was symbolic for their union of being united with Christ in death. And then, when they are raised out of the water, it is symbolic for their union with Christ in his resurrection. That though they once were dead, they are now a new creation in Christ. And so baptism characterizes the positive response of to disciple making. Now secondly, continued learning characterizes discipleship. Right? We as disciple makers do not stop at just sharing the gospel. If a person responds positively, if they accept Christ as their Savior, then we continue to teach them to observe everything that Jesus commanded them. That's what Jesus commands his disciples to do. So new disciples will grow in the knowledge of God. They will mature in the faith when they sit under and continue to observe and obey Jesus's commands. And so while listening to sermons and attending Bible studies certainly is included in that maturing process, there are other ways that that happens, right? You can seek another brother or sister in Christ and just get together and read the Word together. That is a tremendous way to grow in the faith. Just spend some time wrestling with Scripture together. That is a big part and a natural part of disciple making. There, you can even have it in more casual settings. I remember a man who was very sick who came up to me, and he didn't understand why God was not healing him. And I was able to talk to him about how God is sovereignly in control, how God is good. And observing that teaching and believing it and receiving it, this man, though he was battling a terrible cancer, he was comforted in suffering and matured in his faith. There have been many times which I have reminded people who are stressed or anxious of what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Do not be anxious for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." That's Matthew 6:34. And when those that are anxious hear that, if they meditate on it, study it, observe it, they are maturing in their faith. They are trusting that it is Christ is the one that provides. And they need not be anxious, but they can trust in the Lord. Now, in the same way, we can continue to teach others to grow in their faith through pointing people back to the Word and help them to fix their eyes upon Christ. So continued teaching of the new disciple is characteristic of disciple making. So Jesus sends us out on mission to go and make disciples, which is characterized by baptism and by continuing to teach them to obey everything that Jesus commands. Now, as I alluded to earlier, this mission, right, it's daunting, it's intimidating, it's scary, it's discouraging. But luckily here, Jesus encourages us in three ways as we go out on mission for Him. We see that Jesus is over us, with us, and before us on our mission to go and make disciples. Jesus is over us, with us, and before us on our mission to go and make disciples. Let's look at each one of those. We're encouraged by the fact that Jesus is over us. He is over us in that He's been given all authority over all things. And so we can find great comfort in knowing that Jesus is sovereignly in control and that the results are absolutely and totally in His capable hands. We can find confidence that Jesus is with us. Church, how beautiful verse 20 is when Jesus says, "Behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus came into this world as Emmanuel, which means God with us. And as He physically departed from the world, He reminds us that He will be with us always. We are not alone on this mission. We have a constant companion in Jesus. To know that Jesus is with us to the end of the age is incredibly comforting as we are sent out on mission for His sake. And finally, we are encouraged as Jesus goes before us. Though perhaps it's not explicitly stated in Matthew 28, I think it's implied in the fact that Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. Where it is explicitly stated is in Acts 18, verses 9 and 10. Just listen to this word. "And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people.'" You see that? The Lord was encouraging Paul to continue in his mission to make disciples in Corinth because God had many in that city which belonged to him. Meaning, God was already at work ahead of Paul. He was already working in the hearts of many in Corinth, and they were just waiting for Paul to come and proclaim the gospel. And so find encouragement in knowing that God goes before you and is at work even before you go and share the gospel. There is great encouragement in knowing that Jesus is over us, with us, and before us on our mission to go and make disciples. And so what does that look like? How do we get encouraged by that? Let's say you completely botched, you completely blew it when you were sharing the gospel with someone. You felt like you jumbled over your words. You didn't know if you were as clear as you could have been. Find comfort in knowing that Jesus has total authority and sovereignly in control. Find encouragement in knowing that God's word never returns void, but accomplishes exactly what it intends, what he intends to accomplish. And you can find comfort in knowing that the sovereign God can use your jumbled, inarticulate presentation of the gospel and still use that for his good purposes. Maybe you feel scared or inadequate, or you just don't know what to say when you're trying to make disciples. Find encouragement in knowing that Jesus is with you. Maybe you've shared the gospel with a loved one and they've totally rejected it. And maybe you're feeling like, man, I blew it. It's something that I did. That's why they're not coming to the faith. Find encouragement in knowing once again that God's in control, that salvation belongs to the Lord. And be comforted in knowing that Jesus goes before you and is at work even before you open your mouth. I remember I went on a missions trip to Ireland a couple years ago. And the missionaries there said that that the Irish people are very closed. Their hearts are very hard. And that they will not receive the gospel. They probably will not be interested in hearing it. They won't be very receptive to it. And so as a team, we prayed. We prayed that God would go before us and till the soil, make the soil ready to hear and receive the gospel. And you know what? When we got there, much to the utter shock and surprise of the missionaries, those Irish people were hungry, so hungry for the word. They were so eager to hear the gospel. They had so many questions, and many did come to profess faith in Christ. It is unbelievable, and it's only because God went before us and readied the soil for us. There is great encouragement in knowing that Jesus is over us, with us, and before us as we go on mission to make disciples of all nations. Now, brothers and sisters, to close, as followers of Christ, we are people on mission. Christ commands us to go and make disciples of all nations, which is characterized by baptizing and continuing to teach them to obey everything that Jesus commands. Now, every disciple of Christ is called to be a disciple maker. Like our church vision statement, we are people on mission to make, mature, and multiply disciples for Christ, for the glory of God, and for the good of all people. So let me ask you this. Are you out there in enemy territory on mission for the sake of Christ? I cannot stress the sheer importance of this mission enough. People's eternal destinies literally hang in the balance. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers of all time, he said this: if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms around their knees. Let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for. go and make disciples of all nations. Now, I want to close with one last story. Has anyone ever heard of an American man named Edward Kimball? I don't think any, I'd be surprised if any of you actually did know him. He's very unfamous, not known for much of anything, yet, through his simple service to God, he has made a worldwide impact. Edward Kimball in 1854 was a Sunday school teacher in Detroit. And one day, he went to visit a 17-year-old boy who in his Sunday school class, who really had no interest in God, no interest in religion. And during his visit with this young man at his job in a shoe shop, he led this young boy into a relationship with Christ. That young man was D.L. Moody, who went on to become one of the greatest evangelists in the world, sharing the gospel with over 100 million people and founding Moody Bible Institute and the Moody Church in Chicago. Now, it doesn't end there. Through his ministry, Moody was responsible for a London pastor named F.B. Meyer coming to the faith. F.B. Meyer was responsible for Wilbur Chapman coming to the faith. And then Chapman influenced Billy Sunday, another very prominent evangelist in America in the 20th century. Billy Sunday was integral to a man named Mordecai Ham coming to the faith. And Mordecai Ham was the preacher responsible for leading Billy Graham to Christ. What a spiritual legacy Edward Kimball has, huh? He was a common layperson, just like you and me. He was not big and famous. He was not flashy. He didn't have a title. He just faithfully shared the gospel with a 17-year-old boy. And through his faithful service, literally hundreds of millions of people have heard the gospel. Don't underestimate the influence you can have by simply sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with just one life. Brothers and sisters, as followers of Christ, we are on mission. Go forth, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you sent your Son on mission to rescue us, from our sins, so that we could be reconciled to you, so that we could be your sons and daughters who proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. We thank you, God, that you sent your Son on mission to save us. And now, Christ, you turn and send us out on mission to make disciples. Oh, that you would use us, broken vessels, to go forth and proclaim the mysteries of the gospel to those who are lost in the darkness. God, give us the courage. Give us the wisdom. Give us the boldness. Give us the conviction. Give us the confidence, God, to go forth proclaiming your name to the ends of the earth. Help us, God, to not be intimidated, but rather to naturally, to joyfully proclaim your name and your gospel to those that we interact with on a daily basis. Help us, King Jesus, to fulfill this mission, to go and make disciples. We need you, God, to do it. And we ask these things, Christ, in your name. Amen.